Okay, I just want to start the share by mentioning and discussing the question. It's a $1 million question, which is not discussed in Shulchan Aruch here, and it's also not discussed in the Mishnah Berurah, surprisingly enough. But it's so relevant that it's worthwhile mentioning it and just thinking about it a little bit. There is a halacha when it comes to Kisa Megillah, which we've discussed extensively in those shiurim. We know that we all fast on Tanis Esther. After the Tanis Nacht with Av Mariv, and then what happens then? What happens then? We all go and listen to the Kisa Megillah. And really, it's Nacht already. Really, it would make a lot of sense to start eating and refresh oneself, eat something, and only then go to listen to the Megillah. This could surely be organized, and made at the proper time, and everything. It could be done. So, but nobody does that. Nobody actually eats before Kiyasa Megillah. Why not? People are very hungry. People are very thirsty. Why can't? And surely the Megillah reading will also be enhanced. Why don't we do that? And the answer to the question is because there's an Issa D'Rabbanon of Gzeir Hashem Yimashach. We don't trust people when it comes to food. Once you start eating, they're going to schlep, and they may forget at the end to fulfill the mitzvah D'Rabbanon of Kirsa Megillah. Now, this is a categorical Issa which goes so far and which is so extreme that the Shulchan Aruch there in Kirsa Megillah discusses if somebody is really, really unable to fast for so long, the Shulchan Aruch discusses what's better, and the Gemara comes and Shulchan Aruch says perhaps it's better to line the Megillah before Nacht, which is not even Purim yet. It's Tanis Esther, should read the Megillah after Plag, but whatever happens, he shouldn't eat before Kiyasa Megillah, which shows us the severity and the seriousness of this Issa D'Rabbanon of Shema Yimashach. The reality is, we find this Issa of Shema Yimashach not only with regards to Kisa Megillah, we find it with regards to other mitzvahs as well. In fact, any mitzvah has got this, once the zman of the mitzvah starts, you may not eat. Don't eat before shaking Dalet Minim. Don't eat before making Kiddush. Don't eat before most mitzvahs have this restriction. Once the zman of the mitzvah comes, you may not eat. You do the mitzvah, and only then you eat. Gzeir Hashem Yimashach. Now, this is true, and this is a fact, and this is undisputed. So the question, therefore, is, how comes, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the most holy day of the year, the most special Yom Hadin, and very important, the first day of the year, not only the first, but the first and foremost day of the year, Rosh Hashanah, and the mitzvah, which is the most unique mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, which is Tkiyas Mitzvah Aseh D'Reisov, Mitzvah Tkiyas Shefer, suddenly when it comes to that, nobody seems to bother. What do we all do? We Taman Shachis with great Kavona, Kiyasa Megillah, and then what happens? This man of the Shofar comes, and what does everybody do? Whoops, we go and we make Kiddush and we eat. How does that make sense? Surely at this stage, it's also to eat. It's no different in mitzvahs Kiyasa Megillah. It's no different than the other mitzvah that we know that when the man of the mitzvah starts, you may not eat. So the fact that you're making Kiddush doesn't help. You can't eat. And this is really a serious question. And it's hard to identify exactly historically when this, but it's probably true to say that most shuls eat. That's probably true. I haven't made a survey, but it's probably true to state that many, if not most shuls, they make Kiddush before Kiyasa Megillah. This is in the yeshivas, it's very well accepted, and they say that it comes back from Sol Sananta. Goes back generations, certainly a number of generations. When it comes to the Chassidic world, it's also true to state that they daven very long, and they most shuls, most Chassidic Shabbat and Midrashim, they also make Kiddush before Tkiyas Shofar. And generally, it's been accepted like this for a fairly long time. I never researched exactly when it started and at what stage it became common practice. It looks from the Matthew Fahim that it was in his days. It remains a mystery. Mishnah Berurah doesn't discuss it, Shulchan Aruch here doesn't discuss it, but it's a fact that one may not eat, and it's just as much a fact that it's just as much a fact that it is universally, that it's very, very common to eat. So how do we make, how do we understand this? The reality is as follows, that there is some poskim Some places can take say that there is no heter, and that's why many shuls need a makpid. And it's probably true to say as well that many shuls will refrain from eating precisely because of that, and that has to be stated as well. Now, in terms of finding an answer for that, the interesting answer, it's probably not the most conventional answer, but a very interesting answer is brought down. I think it's very interesting. Is this Oros Shuvah? He says as follows. He says, do you know there's a there's normally, if you're next to a candle on Shabbos, the Shema, there's a gzeir of Shema Yata. You're not allowed to read on Shabbos next to a candle because you're gonna tilt, which is an Issa D'Raisa. You're gonna end up playing with a fire, that's Shema Yata gzeir. You're not allowed to read in front of a candlelight on Shabbos. What about Yom Kippur? Are you allowed to read in front of a candlelight on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara discusses in Shabbos. The Gemara says, yeah. Interesting. Why? Because Gemara says the emes, the fear of the day is so great that people are not going to make a mistake. On a regular Shabbos, you may end up, you're reading there, you might by mistake be, but on Yom Kippur, the day is so holy and so special, nobody's going to end up making a mistake. This perhaps may be the reason why when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, which is the most holy of all the, and such a special day, and such a, perhaps that's the reason why people don't make it. Because you're not going to end up schlepping. Precisely because of the holiness of the day, and precisely because of the greatness, the uniqueness of the mitzvah, people are going to withhold and are going to be able to stop themselves from eating extensively, and they'll be all right. And perhaps like the emes of the din, the fear of the day is going to refrain a person from extending it and making it tula. Interesting chiddush. It's that. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Issa.
Do not say the same about Megillah.
Pardon.
Rabbi.
Somebody's very weak, yes, well, but it's interesting.
Even, can make Kiddush for myself if they need to. Isn't that
brought in the Halacha? Before, yeah, but this is not the Reise. We're talking about the Reise over here. We're talking about the Reise of Tkiah Shef once a year. Surely one should be Machme on the Reise. Yeah, what did you say, Reb Gideon? I'm with you, Reb Gideon.
The thing about Megillah, that people are very, it's very
Choshev a
mitzvah.
Well, it's the Rabbanon, it's not as Choshev as the Reise once a year, you know, the Reise of Tkiah Shef is more Choshev than Megillah at the end of the day. So that's what this Oros Shuvah suggests. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, we're up to Simon Tov Kuf Pei Tes. Who can actually blow the Shef? See, if Aleph, page 126. Kol Sheinu Mechuyiv B'Dova, Enu Moetzi Acherim Dechavasam. Only a person who is obligated in the mitzvah can be moitzi somebody with kiyas shofar. So if you are not obligated yourself, you cannot be moitzi other with kiyas shofar. What's an example for that? Pardon? Who is not obligated? Perhaps Isha is on a lower level. Certainly a cotton, she's got a pre bar mitzvah boy who is very capable to blow the shofar. No, he hasn't got a proper chiyuv. So not full fetched chiyuv. So therefore, he can't blow the shofar for you. Who else is exempt? Siv Beis, I'm on page 126. Cheresh, a deaf person, shoyter, a fool, cotton, pturim, and a child, they're all exempt from the mitzvah. They will not be able to be mitzvah. Cheresh, a deaf person, afilo medabe, even if he talks, ve'eni shemea, he cannot hear. Eino mitzvah cannot be mitzvah. Tekeven she'eni shemea, lav ba'achiyuvu. Since he's unable to hear, he's not obligated. The mitzvah of Kershef is all about hearing. If he cannot hear, even if he can talk. If he cannot hear, he cannot be moitzi. Aval shemea ve'ino medaber, moitzi acherim dechavasam. But somebody who can hear, but he cannot talk, is mute. So he will be able to be moitzi others. Why? Because he can hear himself. If he can hear. What about here? The Mishnah Berurah discusses if cotton dalet. What if somebody has? The Mishnah Berurah says cheresh shomea ledi kli, a cheresh, a deaf person who can hear through kemin chatzoytzrus, who hears but only with the support and the aid of a chatzoytzrus. Chatzoytzrus literally means a trumpet, yeah, or pipe. That's the olden days kind of hearing aid. The old-fashioned hearing aid. Yeah? So if a person has got a chatzotzos in his ear, what would you have thought? Well, I would have probably assumed... Well, I don't know what they've assumed, but the Mishnah says, Chayev b'shofar is obligated in shofar. Why? Why is a person whose hearing is impaired and he's not really good at, he cannot hear the sound clearly, but yet he's got his chatzotzos where the support mechanism is able to hear, why is he Chayev b'shofar? Why? Yeah, he's got some capability of hearing. Yeah, that's the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Gimel, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Similar, it's a comparison. The Gemara there discusses Chayesh as well. I am not sure the mechanics of how the contemporary hearing aids work. Anybody's got any knowledge in this? Hearing aids?
I think it's probably electronics. As I say, you might not be hearing the actual sound.
Exactly. So I don't know much about it, but I think that it works very different. Because at least chatzotzos, all they do really, they amplify the sound. So a person who is hearing impaired, he has quite a weak sound. The chatzotzos, he just amplifies the sound. That, Mishnah says, is chai b'shofar. I don't know if that necessarily means, I don't know. What do you think? You don't agree.
Because someone's using a walking stick on Shabbos, and he needs that. That's considered like an extension of his house. If he goes in an air roof,
yeah,
it's like his body.
If he's completely unable to walk without it, yeah.
So here too.
But is he hearing? Is he chayev?
It's part of his body.
It's part of his body.
So you're going to make a condominium from 10 different locations and joined together by a Zoom, let's say. That's something different. But here, it's part of his body. There was a discussion that...
I hear. You're saying it becomes part of his body and it becomes part of his actual physical ability. It becomes part of him because it's implanted in his body, so it becomes like his koyach and his shmir. Perhaps.
There was a discussion about hearing Megillah, people were hearing Megillah on Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom is much worse than that. Zoom is much worse. Okay, beginning is... Zoom is much worse than that. Because you're clearly not actually hearing the sound.
Apparently the source is from hearing the shofar, if you hear the echo, like in the echo of the shofar, you're not...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, that's what we discussed during the holiday shiurim, yeah. Yeah, so the echo is also not... Yeah, but so this is the discussion over here as to whether the sound, which is not actually the sound... If you're not, so the Mishnah paskens that if you're hearing an amplified sound of the shofar, kemin chatzotzos, yoytze the mitzvah. Continue to see Gimel Aboisai. Isha, a woman, Petura is exempt from mitzvah tkirshav. Mishum da mitzvah tkirshav magoma, because it is a
time-bound
mitzvah. It's time-bound. Therefore, she's not obligated, therefore, she cannot be moitzi. And Siv Dala teaches us, Andrigonus. Moitzi es minos. Andrigonus is it's got both the simonim of Zoch and the Keva, and that Andrigonus can be moitzi in another colleague Andrigonus. So what if you've got a club of Andrigonus, they can be moitzi each other. However, tumtum afilu as minoy enoy moitzi, however, when it comes to the tum is that different. Tum is something zocha, something in the cave, we're not sure exactly what a status is. So that it cannot be moitzi even its own min, because everybody's in every tum has got its own suffix, and therefore he may be really a hidden zocha, and the person is moitzi may be a hidden nekeva, and therefore they cannot be moitzi each other. Okay, now, Siv Hei discusses the halacha of mishechetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin, a slave who is half freed, half slave, half free man. Ene moitzi afil atzmei, cannot be moitzi even himself. Why not himself? I understand he cannot be moitzi somebody else, but why can't his semi-freed slave? Why can't he be moitzi? He can't even blow the shofar for himself. Interesting halacha. The because the Mishabu expensive cotton zayin, the loin osit sad avdus shabu, because his aspect, his part, his side of servant cannot be moitzi tzad cheir shabu, cannot be moitzi his part, his 50% of. Yeah, there's 50% of him which is servant, 50% of him which is freed. So, he cannot be moitzi stuck. He cannot be moitzi himself. He cannot be moitzi himself. However, how you deal with it? Somebody else can be moitzi him. That's going to work either way. If he's a ben choyrin, he's yoitzi. If he's a eved, he's also yoitzi. He could be somebody else. Yeah, it is an interesting halacha. It is an interesting halacha. It is. It is. Now, the Shulchanoch evolved. Now, discussing, we're going to start this conversation today. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem. What about women blowing to themselves? Can a woman blow? Can a noshim blow for a club of women? Can women be moitz each other? Why not? Can they make a bracha?
No.
Why not? No commanded. Depends on. Svadin Ashkenazi. What? No, why? No, that's not here, yeah. So, the halacha is, Avopi, bottom line of page 126, Avopi Shenoshim Pturois, although women are exempt, they can certainly blow. Anybody can blow, but that's alright. V'chein, achashiyotze kva yochal iskele etzion, and not only that, but even a man who is yoitz already, he can be moitzi them, and that we will discuss in Hashem in greater detail. But they do not make a bracha, and he shouldn't make a bracha for them either. Now the Rambam is going to disagree with that, because he's going to tell us that women can indeed make a bracha, although it's a time bound mitzvah. Women can make a bracha. And this leads us to the famous machlokes Shulchan Aruch as to whether women can make a bracha on the mitzvahs which are time-bound. They certainly don't have to do the mitzvah, but if they do it, can they make a bracha? Yes or no? The controversy, of course, starts from why couldn't they make a bracha? Why can't they make a bracha? Why Shulchan Aruch you cannot make a bracha? Timon, because of the words. The bracha says, Baruch ato Hashem elokeinu melech ha-mashiach kiddushanu mitzvah yisof ve-tzivonu. Hashem, you've commanded us for the mitzvah. This is inaccurate for women, because they're not commanded. So a man is commanded, and hence he can make the bracha. A woman is not commanded. How can she possibly make the bracha? And indeed, Shulchan Aruch, because of that, says women cannot make a bracha on any time-bound mitzvah. The Rambam disagrees, and he says, no, they can't make a bracha. What's the argument against it? Why did the Rambam hold they can't make a bracha? Because at the end of the day, it still is a mitzvah. And that is an interesting detail, which we'll discuss in Mitzvah in the future, Mitzvah tomorrow. To summarize what we learned this evening, we discussed that, we started off discussing a little bit the halachas of eating before Tkiyas Shofar. We also spoke about the rule that whoever is not obligated in the mitzvah cannot be moitzi others. Therefore, deaf, a shoiter, a child, a minor, cannot be moitzi others. When it comes to a deaf person, if he cannot hear, he cannot be moitzi. However, if he can hear, but he cannot speak, if he's mute, then he will be able to be moitzi others. The Mishnah Berurah speaks about the chatzotzes, very important Mishnah Berurah, about this hearing aid, which makes a person obligated in the mitzvah's shofar. We spoke about women, it's a time-bound mitzvah, therefore they are exempt. We spoke about Andriganus, is moitzi his colleague Andriganus, tum-tum cannot be moitzi. Half slave, half freed, cannot be moitzi even himself, certainly not others. And women, we mentioned now the machlokes Shulchan Aruch with Rambam as to whether they can make a bracha if they make the tkiyas shofar. Good evening, Abba Yisai.